that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll
around. Hey, good morning. And that wheel's rolled around. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this 7th day of April, 2012. You got a minute still. Get your Bible out. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us, won't you? For coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be back right after this.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. That wheel has rolled around again. It's Saturday morning at the Radio Ranch. Beautiful sunrise this morning. Came over the mountains just east of town, and oh, it's a pretty day. It's a pretty day here. And we say good morning. Good morning here in the office, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we have a guest. Good morning, Brent. Oh, don't have Brent here. Let's see what we can do for Brent. Maybe we can. It's his microphone. Is he on?
He's unmuted. And yeah.
Try it again. No, we'll work on that. Well, good morning, John, down there in Colorado.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Jason.
Good morning.
The last to say good morning, but certainly not the least. And this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. So we'll start out with a word of prayer. Jason, would you open us in prayer? And where we go from there, who knows?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. We ask that you guide and direct each and every one of us through working your Holy Spirit with the thoughts and direction we are to go. And we thank you for it. We thank you for all the many blessings that you're bestowing upon us right now, Father. We thank you that we're living in a time of prophecy and that we're being able to see prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. We thank you for the protection that you grant us in the times that we're living in. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to guide us and direct us, Father, in all that we do. Guide our people across this land, Father. We pray for the remnant, and we come before you and lift them up to you and just ask for a extra dose of protection upon them in the times that we're living in, and ask that you guide them, direct them, be with them, comfort them, and strengthen them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll say, I guess, if we're going to talk to the rest of the world, we have to say happy Easter weekend. Is that right? I think Easter's tomorrow. Good Friday was yesterday. So that's what the Judeo-Christian world is looking at this weekend. Of course, we celebrated the Passover last Monday evening, the 14th day of Abib being the first month of the solar year, and that's starting on the spring equinox on April 20th. And we had a very good service. Kyle brought a good Passover message there. We've had several emails where the people were able to join us. Here's one from our buddy Red Diver out west. Thanks for the message last night, the Passover gathering at the church. Great job in feeding the sheep. He's got a nice quote here from The Light and the Glory, page 267. If you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none, nor any governor, but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, that's what I'll start off with this morning. How are things going down in Colorado?
Well, I think that it is important to tell people that we do have a tape called Is Easter Really Christian? That and it's, I believe it's back in the 100 series. It's an early on one, but if you have any questions about Easter, I've had several people ask me lately, and I've sent them right to the tape, told them get that message, and it does just a fantastic job explaining what Easter is, if you should be celebrating it. There's so many people that you know, that we got out there today that they think they're Christians because they go to church on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's not the case at all. It's, you know, why would you want to go and celebrate something that is to a false god?
Yeah.
But that message is a fantastic message. If you have any questions on what Easter is, if you should be celebrating what and what the origins are, order the tape.
Yep, absolutely. It's number 198, Is Easter Christian? We'll be glad to send you a CD if you want it. And, you know, I would bet that if you listen to that, and if you watched the Super Bowl this last year, that you will come to realize, if you'll be truthful about it, that you will see that the Easter celebration has more to do with this last year's Super Bowl halftime show than it does with Christianity. And I think that, you know, if you want to know truth, you know, if you just want to be happy because you already bought your Easter baskets and you're going to an Easter egg hunt tomorrow and all that good stuff, then you're going to have a nice big ham for lunch tomorrow. Then don't order this message. Don't listen to it because you won't like it.
That is true. So many people love to stick their head in the sand, and you know they'll even think, "Oh, I've got enough battles on my plate right now. I don't want to deal with that one." You know, because that one, you got to deal with your brother, your mother, your child. I mean, it just, because it's so involved, you know, everybody who even thinks they might be a Christian celebrates Easter.
If they don't do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed yesterday when I came down to work, we've got a neighbor that, you know, works in town to dealing with the schools. His wife's a teacher. And both their vehicles were home yesterday. And I'm thinking, it's a little late for spring break, isn't it? And I don't think twice about it. And then we had to kind of go clean out the water ditches. You know, it's irrigation time. It's springtime. And so I'm working with the guy's uncle, old man, and they make some comment about Good Friday. And then it hit me. Oh, that's right. This is Good Friday. And then it hit me again. The public school system shut down yesterday. I don't know if the government offices and stuff were closed, but the public school system, where you can't bring a Bible to school, you can't tell people about Jesus, they can't pray in the public school, they were off on
They didn't down here.
They were
the
off
Christian
on a,
schools did, but
they were off on
public
a paid,
schools.
They were off on a paid holiday on Good Friday for a religious holiday. And
yeah, they pick and choose, don't they?
They do. I mean, and if that's not double-mindedness, Brent and I got to talk a little bit about that last night. They made it in from Canada last night, and we got to talking. If that's not double-mindedness, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Well, and there used to be you know, people used to, even in the churches at one time here in America, and it wasn't that long ago that they used to celebrate the resurrection, and it wasn't called Easter, and it wasn't on that day. It was actually celebrated on Passover, and it was referred to as Resurrection Sunday. And they celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that talked about anymore. I remember talking with my grandmother about that years ago, you know, and she was upset about it because everybody was celebrating Easter, and nobody even remembered what it was about. And, you know, it concerned her, and this was probably 20 years ago, that people weren't remembering the resurrection, that they were chasing bunny rabbits that laid eggs.
Yeah, you know what happens, these battles that come, excuse me, with us too in our day and age, that they'll fight to bring in something, some immemorial or change of teaching. There's a bit of a battle, and then it's forgotten. And, you know, people like queers and that, they don't give up. They keep battling. But the church sometimes, well, a lot of times, has let those battles go. And, you know, like Easter, a lot of true believers died because of bringing in the Catholic Easter and Good Friday. Constantine brought it in, and people were killed that kept, as you're saying, Jason, the proper day and going back with the proper Passover. So, you know, if we were alive back then, we would be, people would be very passionate about it and say, no, we shouldn't even be bringing this paganism in. And it was changed, and it was changed with bloodshed. You know, you're a heretic if you didn't accept the new pagan Easter. But anyway, that's getting, you know, going down, you know, get the tapes and listen there on that stuff. But it's just, you know, Richard, we talked about that yesterday. Yeah. I don't know. You know, you look around us and just see the changes, and we're forced to accept them. You don't, but we do. And it's, you resurrect believers from 200, 300 years ago now, and they'd say, why are you guys tolerating all this?
Yep, that's exactly what they were saying. A quote of scripture here in Acts by the Apostle Paul says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And that's basically what it is. They try so hard to keep people out of the kingdom of God and out of the door day. And, you know, everything that's of value doctrinal-wise, the enemy, go out of their way to try to keep people from it, you know. And the Passover day is, like Brent said, you know, back there in when the Catholic Church was going strong, you know, they brought in this garbage, you know. They brought in sprinkling for baptism, and they brought in this some pagan stuff, mixed it with the true religion, and, you know, and they're just trying to destroy souls.
Yeah, you guys think that's bad. There's a new movement out, which is nothing new under the sun, but I bet you dollars to donuts is the same group that was sponsoring that Reason rally, the atheist rally, but now billboards all across the east back there, gay Christians, yes. GayChristiansYes.org. And that's a big movement, too, these days. These churches are changing their doctrine to accept these people, but says their vision is to see every LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individual walk freely in the love of Christ. I almost puked when I was reading this thing. I can smell a fight a-brewing again here and against this gay marriage thing, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, what is wrong with the people? And I'm talking about us as a people, you know, to where we will actually go to a church. And I know I'm not talking about us individually here, but we've been blessed. But what is wrong with us when we'd actually go to a church where anything of that sort would even be mentioned? Why aren't the doors just slamming shut and the ministers of the devil that are on the pulpit just standing there with the empty pews everywhere? I don't know. You know, that's where it all belongs. You know, I mean, Pastor, when he used to bring out the order of how it went down, like the people, then the prophets, then the politicians, then the economic, you know, that order, you know,
how it affects everything. Yeah.
It all comes back on us. You know, we want people that in there that'll tickle our ears, and that's what they got. You know, I just don't get why the doors ain't slamming shut. And
well, we're in the last days. You know, people are appointing teachers of their own liking, and basically we're heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, you know.
Amen.
Well, you know, well, that really shows you what you got in the pulpits of these churches.
Oh, yeah. But the tares are becoming bold and brazen, and they're sticking their heads up. That's what these thinking queers are doing.
The time of harvest draws near.
Well, the thing is, the word of God is you know, thrown out. Dr. Walter Martin, he's dead now, late Dr. Walter Martin, and he did a lot of work on cults and what have you. And one thing he said was what they do first is they go after the apostles of Christ. So you hear these people that attack Paul, and there's a whole movement out there. So they start going after the apostles, question them, you know, just get in people's minds to question them, which you normally wouldn't do, and then they move on to the Word of God itself. And then once they've done that, you know, you're breaking down a barrier. You would never go there. And once you've done that, then they go right after Christ himself and, of course, preaching another Christ. So once we've taken away the safety net of the reverence to the Word of God and to the men that died, you know, in the early church and brought the Word through the Holy Spirit, anything goes, and that's what it is. These false preachers, they're quoting the Bible as a book, but they can't be Spirit-led. How can they be? You can't. The fruits, John 15.
Oh, they're
says,
Spirit-led.
Well, yeah, demon Spirit-led.
They are.
True.
In,
yes.
In 2 Peter 2:12, I've got a different translation here, but it says, these false teachers are like unthinking animals. And in the New American Standard, it just says, these, like unreasoning animals. But if that cross-references over to Jude, to where it says, the men who are hidden reefs in our love feasts. So that's who they're talking about. They're talking about those that are there under false pretenses. They look like angels of light, but they are ministers of darkness, is what they are. And 2 Peter 2:12 finishes saying, these false teachers, so these hidden reefs in our love feast, these people that claim to love me but don't, they're like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. And that's New Testament, folks. That's the love of Jesus right there. So understand that. And if you have people that you, I don't even want to say associate with, but maybe that you know that are acquaintances that are going along these lines that John's talking about, you know, gay Christians, that's a good verse to tell them. And then another New Testament scripture to tell them about the love of Jesus is Revelations 20. And let me find it here. Actually, 21, number and verse 8. Revelations 21:8, and it says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable. Well, guess what's an abomination to God? That's the same root word, and that is the filthy queers. The cowardly, the unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and homosexuality is definitely immoral, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is
come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. And that is their reward. In Revelations 22:12, when he says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done, he will render, and those that are immoral and abominable, like the filthy queers, their reward will be that lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death. Not the first one that AIDS may give them.
Yeah.
But the second.
The interesting thing is, I talked with Kyle about this a while ago, but I went to a Judeo-Christian men's retreat and trying to enlighten some of these guys, and they've actually learned some of the teachings that I learned from the best teacher we ever had, our pastor. But bottom line was, they're trying to, one or two guys were defending this homosexual coming to the church and this and that, and I said, how do you defend that? Well, it's no different than if you have anger in your heart with your brother. And Kyle gave me a scripture that was Hebrews 10:26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins,
amen,
but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. That's the difference.
That is the difference. You know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you know, but that doesn't mean you can just go out and do whatever you want. I mean, there's scriptures on everything in the Bible if you just want to see them. And that's not the only one on that. I mean, there's also in Hebrews where it tells you it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. You know, if you go get baptized and your sins are washed away and then you just think that's a license to be able to go out and do whatever you want to do, that you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself, and you're going to wake up someday, and your garments are going to be soiled, you know, and your name that was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be blotted out. You know, and these people run wild and are proclaiming that they're Christians when their fruits are rotten. You know?
Yeah, here's another good scripture, Hebrews 6:4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame.
Amen.
Yep, and folks, Christ died once for you. If you're expecting him to do it again, you're strongly mistaken.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem is... you talk to some people, and then they say, well, I don't really care what people do behind their closed doors. And I said, yeah, that's the problem. You didn't care. And now what happened?
Yeah.
And now they want equality. Now they want same-sex.
No, they don't want equality. They want to have special benefits. They want to
rise
higher above anybody else that's not a pervert. They want to have special rights for being a sexual pervert.
Yeah, amen. You're right, Jason.
And they want to kill anybody that doesn't believe them. It's no little agenda. It's a huge agenda. And they want their way to be the way of the world, and that we are all the crazy ones. And they truly believe that. And, you know, Satan's got them believing it. And we know in the end they're not going to do that. But they truly, that's the agenda. And the media goes along with them. And the preachers, they should be saying with the scriptures you guys just brought up, and warning the people instead of embracing it. It's awful.
And you got all these right-wing, you know, I don't listen to the right-wing radio like I used to, you know, but you got the Bill O'Reillys and these guys that they come out, and they're supposed to be, their audience is supposed to be the people on the right, you know. But they think in the right, but they're the ones that promoted that. Well, what's done in your own home is your own personal, you know, that's, you know, because people would call up that had the law of God on their heart, and they'd say, you know, we can't have this, we can't, you know, well, you know, what somebody does in their own home, that's up to them, you know. We're just talking about things that affect us, not knowing that that is exactly what's affecting us, you know, is what's going on behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more open now. You know, they're recruiting way more now, but back in whenever it was, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, these things that were going on behind closed doors is why we're at now. Because that keeps people from being able to stand up. When you got sin in your life, it's hard to stand up against sin. Mm-hmm. Because your conscience condemns you, you know, and so, I mean, I knew a family member once who had committed a sin. And he let all kinds of things, you know, after he supposedly repented, you know, after he supposedly got his life back with God, you know, he let all kinds of things happen to his family without standing up, because he had this, well, who am I? You know, I'm just a sinner, you know, attitude, you know, instead of just being, you know, well, I repented for my sin. I'm going to stand up like a man and say, that's wrong. You know, I mean, but no, they let it all go because their conscience are condemning them, you know, and the preachers out there are helping that along by saying, well, we're all sinners, so, you know, who are you, you to stand up against a homosexual? You know?
I remember a word the pastor brought out, and it was, I think it was right about the time I started going to the church, but it's a word that's really caused a lot of this, and that's called political correctness, you know. And I remember Dad saying in the beginning that, this word has a lot more power than you people realize, and you will see how much power it has, and you know, in the future. And really, this political correctness is what's brought all this crap to be, you know.
Yep. Well, you know, Richard, we talked yesterday about the two conflicting messages that are being, you know, given, and like Kyle, you're saying about O'Reilly. So there's not much truth out there all around. So you get a guy like him, will give a lot of stuff that people are going to like politically. But then his little gem of Satan is on the issue, like you say, about the homosexuals or whatever. So people now, he's won them over. It's just like a minister, a false minister, right? They're won over. Yeah, he's saying all the stuff I want to hear politically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you're totally giving yourself to him. Now he comes on the queer thing. And then a person, yeah, I don't agree with him. But then he'll get back on his political stuff again. And that's breaking down the conscience and breaking down our whole thought process and actually blocking the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's no little thing.
Yeah, they call it the lesser of two evils. But I'm convinced that the lesser of two evils is the most evil. Because they're the wolf that's in sheep's clothing.
It's accepted.
You know,
yeah. They're not lukewarm.
Yeah,
it's accepted. At least you know for sure right away.
Yeah, I mean, if you walking down the street and you see a dark individual with a hoodie on, you might take your child and go to the other side of the street. But you walk down the street and you see a big old smiling Joel Osteen. Yeah. Well, hey, brother, how? I mean, those are the worst enemies because they get people unaware. You know,
charismatic. Yeah, yep. You're right.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
Well, and I think a lot. There's been a lot of people out there who just naturally had. They knew that the filthy fags were wrong. They were in sin. They were, you know, disgusting. But their minds have been changed by the preachers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Telling them, well, if you don't, telling them that if you don't love them as your brother, then you have a problem and you're going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, this is, here's a sign, too, that's gone viral at Rose City Park United Methodist Church. Says, God prefers kind atheists over hateful Christians. Isn't that just the way the country's gone these days?
You know, the other day I was looking in John 15, you know, Jesus says we are the branches and he's the vine. But, you know, mine's broken into three. There's a couple subheadings. And the first part is Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And then the disciples' relation to each other and the disciples' relation to the world. And in the first section, you know, he clearly says, as we know, abide in me and I in you. And we, as the branch, cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. And then he repeats again that he's the vine, the branches, we are. And then he says, if you don't abide in me, you know, you're thrown away as a branch, and the branch dries up, they gather them, and they're burned. I mean, that should scare us a bit. That should scare those preachers if they don't have the Holy Spirit. But the thing is we have to grow, and there's a consequence. It's very important that we are to grow. But what they do is, in the section it says, our disciples' relation to each other, that's one of love, of fellow believers, right? That we to love one another. But they take that and say you're to love the world, love the fag, love all this stuff. But we're not to. And the third one, disciples' relation to the world, we're to be hated for the truth's sake. But so they're saying, well, love the world. No, we're not. We're to love one another. And the truth goes out from us to the world as a believer, we should be hated. And so it's all mixed up. And it's a doctrine of demons that is being preached. And it's no little thing, because the scriptures, you know, Revelation that you said before there, and Richard, and I mean, it's not a game of tiddlywinks here. This is eternal life. And anybody listening, if you've been watered down and believer, you've been baptized, and you know, we can go backwards and stuff, but Jesus Christ will give us that strength. He'll renew us as we come to him. We just took the Passover. But I'll tell you, this isn't a game. And there's a lot of deception, and Satan is trying to take believers down and truth down, and he will not in the end. We have a tremendous hope, but we have to call it as it is.
Yeah, here's a test. If you are going to a church out there, are you being edified by the Word of God? Are you coming away more faithful? You know, otherwise, look at it and say, is this guy a minister of the devil? Because there are ministers of the devil out there.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to recognize that scripture that says that there are, but there are. So somebody out there is a minister of the devil.
But they're told not to judge, so they're scared to.
And if they ain't building your faith up, and I'm not talking about making you feel like a better person when you leave. Anybody can do that. I'm talking about faith building. You know, that makes you want to go out and fight for the Lord. makes you want to go out and stand up and be a man. You know, cool. You know, makes you want to go out and know that prayers work. Yeah, things that have to do with faith. If they're not building your faith, then they're not a man of God. Because that's what men of God do.
Exactly. Amen.
It's about time for another imprecatory prayer, I believe.
It is.
I'll have to work on that for this this month, specifically targeting.
Yep. Yeah, it is, John. Like you said, John, the day of harvest draws ever nearer. You know?
Yeah.
It just does. According to the Bible, the things that we see around us, you know, we read that in the last days men will become what? Lovers of self, cold-hearted, greedy. That's exactly where we're at, where we've been. And in this time of harvest, they certainly do. They stand up tall and proud. You know, you'll even get one that will say something against the filthy faggots. And before long, if he's in, you know, in any kind of limelight, if he's going to keep his career, he's going to be backpedaling and apologizing. And
along those lines, I can tell you a story right here. This kid, I don't know where the school was, but anyways, wore a shirt that said, "Jesus is not a homophobe," and has the fish with the gay colors on it, you know. And the principal was outraged and made him reverse it. So he gets the religious freedom from religion to defend him. And next thing you know, they're settling that, well, okay, you can wear the shirt for one day, you know? So it's just where people are at.
Yeah, that's exactly where people are at. Let me read a piece of scripture here in Revelation 6. I'll start in verse 9. "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of think we're in that little season. And I kind of picture, you know, the pastor being one of those that are saying, "How long, O Lord? How long? You know, let's go get them." You know, somebody's doing it. Somebody's standing there dressed in white saying that, you know. And I mean, that's pretty serious stuff when you're talking about being willfully ready to die for the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be.
And if the preacher or pastor or whoever is leading the church that you're at is not preparing you for that, he might be a false brethren. Like you
absolutely
said, if he's not, if it's get what you can now, God wants you to be prosperous and he wants you to have it now, you know, and you're not being prepared for this right here. You need to be prepared for this.
Yeah, there was a, you know, talk about bold and brazen and to the point where it almost makes you want to follow through with something. But there's another college that they were so bold and brazen that they were telling the students to turn in their Bibles for pornography. So if you gave them your Bible, they would give you a smut magazine. That's where we're at.
How long, O Lord?
Yeah.
Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's coming to you live this 7th day of April, live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Coming to you on shortwave, WTWW, also on the Internet at our websites. Our ministry website is scriptures4america.org. You can listen live there, and we invite you to church tomorrow morning at that website, scriptures4america.org, at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll have a live church service, so we do invite you to come to church with us at that website. These broadcasts and all of the different broadcasts we have on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network are archived at our network website, and that address is www.sfawbn.com, and our complete broadcast schedule is there as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, From those websites, you can send us an email. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And our address, if you want to write us, many people do. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
How long do you think if a person at that same school that John was talking about had a T-shirt printed up that said, Jesus was not a homophobe, he feared no queer, he actually destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of sodomy. You know, I mean, how long do you think a shirt like that would last? You know, I think they'd let them wear that for a day?
Nope. Probably not.
There was a time I was in a drive-thru, you know, getting some fast food back when I ate a little bit more unhealthy than I eat now. Anyway, I was behind a car that had one of those Who Would Jesus Bomb stickers on. And it was summertime, so I yelled at the guy out the window, hey, can I answer your question, you know? And he's like, huh? I said, your question on your bumper, you know, it says Who Would Jesus Bomb, you know? And he's like, sure, you know? And I'm like, well, he'd bomb Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, because he did, you know?
He did.
He goes, well, no, that was Old Testament, you know? And then I quoted Colossians where it says, you know, that Christ was in the beginning when he created all things, you know. Then the guy just rolled his window up and went on, you know. But he didn't want to hear the answer to the question. He just wanted to throw it out there like that's a stumbling block, you know. When actually there's an answer for all those questions. I'll tell you who Jesus will bomb, you know.
Or who he would land.
Yeah, boy, if you've been on the ministry for a few years, we put that on our newsletter. I was looking at that just the other day. We came into church one Sunday morning, and once again, the church had been vandalized and all types of nasty things written on there. But one thing that was written on there was that, who would Jesus lynch? And we took some pictures, and we put that in the newsletter. And I think Jason, didn't Pastor preach a sermon entitled that day?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Well, not the day that it was vandalized, but the day that he saw it.
Yeah, when we came to church. And I think that's in the catalog as well, if you'd like to hear that. And he addresses that very thing. Yep.
You know,
it'd be some busy gallows, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I went to this movie the other day, because it won't be at home, won't be in Canada. We're so politically correct. But October Baby. And so we stopped in South Dakota and went to it. And it was a good movie.
Yeah, we saw that.
It was a good movie. You know,
I have to
give them a lot of credit because there's things being said in there that they just, you know, Satan doesn't want people to hear. But for me, sitting there, you know, it reminded me back years ago. I was in the speaking club and I had to do what they call an attack speech on an issue. So I thought, well, maybe abortion. I didn't know much about abortion then either. So I thought, well, I remember this guy who used to fight it, and he used to do hunger strikes, and because he was against abortion, he was, you know, he was in the news. And so I thought, he's got a health food store. I'll go see him. And man alive, the information he gave me was so eye opening. What these people do, sucking the brains out and pulling them apart, and it goes on and on. And it was a door being opened, obviously, as they brought abortion in, to start to rip them apart and do cell research and that. And I'm sort of saying this graphically for a reason, because I've talked to people over the years, and you mention abortion, and they just sort of, you know, they don't even want to talk about it anymore. And so I'll explain some of this stuff, and you'll have somebody say, well, I don't want to hear any more about that. Well, of course you don't. But you know what? That's a human life. And I've noticed over the years when I mention to people, you know, just, you know, mention about abortion, and there's a million a year in the U.S. and probably 100,000 a year in Canada, and how many millions have been killed. And this movie, you know, they're bringing some of that truth out that people normally wouldn't get to hear, and that's, again, why they won't play it in, basically won't play it in Canada, or it'll be in a little theater for a day. And but in me, just, you know, brought that passion again as I looked and saw these bastards that are doing these procedures for money, and maybe half of them are not even human. They're Edomites. I don't know what they are, but I'll tell you what. I remember back when they used to have girls outside protesting, saying, "It's just a blob. It's just a blob." That's how they started. They told them it was a blob. And there's so many women out there now that they've got to be, you know, they've suppressed it, but they've had those abortions that it's got to be bothering them in there. And, you know, for those that can repent, I hope they do. And Jesus Christ will, we forgive you, and, you know, the truth will set you free. Those that don't, get ready for that lake of fire, because that's where you're going. And if you're making money on it, you're doing the procedure, I'm telling you, you deserve the lake of fire. And get ready for it, and because it's a sick, sick thing that you're doing. And you know, the pre-movies. Sorry, I'm going on, but this was just something really passionate about when I saw it. They were giving a review of an upcoming movie about chimpanzees, and there was a chimpanzee that got separated from the rest of the chimpanzees.
Oh, no!
And I'm looking and thinking, you're giving all this concern and love in a whole movie about a chimpanzee, and daily hundreds of thousands are being killed and in the womb, and you know, God made in God's image. And again, this is an issue that is being thrown out the way. It's political now. It's not, you know. And anyway, I just something I just passionate on my heart that I really
well that's
we
like that. Go ahead, John.
We saw that too, Brent, and I'll tell you what, if you don't tear up watching a movie like that,
I'm telling you,
then you better pray for God to soften your heart, because it was tough to see. And you know, I got to admit it. When I was younger, high school, I was a heathen. You know, I had no idea abortion. That's just what you do to take care of a problem. You know, but once you actually, like Brent says, when you actually learn what it is, it's nothing but a sacrifice to Moloch. Just, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. They get power from sacrificing these babies to their God.
Yeah.
What's that scripture, Jason, that you wrote where the man is at the bottom of the... About, somewhere in Revelations, ain't it, where it talks about gold?
Yeah, there's a scripture in Revelation, and then I also used the where it talked about it from the book of Jasher as well.
Yeah, where gold is at the top, and human life is at the bottom.
Yeah.
Right, that's where we're at, boys.
And animals are somewhere in between. You know, save the whales and the spotted owls, and
that's right,
and let the Israelites die.
Well, if you think of Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So God's just pruning the vine.
He is. He is. That quote from Jasher, Jason, that you mentioned, I've got it here in our new Volume 3 Dragon Slayer. Jason did the main article. It's entitled Warning Signs. It's an excellent article. It is a 3 or 4 course beefsteak dinner. So if you're up for that, by all means, make sure you get our Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletter. It's still on the presses. I think it'll be mailed out hopefully about the middle of this next week. And it is the warning signs in the day of the Lord, and it is a very timely message. It's very timely information that our people need to have. And in it, on page 6, this is what's written. The book of Jasher describes the building of the city, meaning Babylon, and its tower, and notes that life was considered very cheap. And this is the quote from Jasher 9:28. And if a brick should fall from their hands and get broken, they would all weep over it. And if a man fell and died, none of them would look at him.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And isn't that how we are today?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't help but think, you know, back on 9/11, you still see the picture of the towers, and we will never forget. That's the thing. We will remember. We will never forget.
Then they ban all the pictures.
Yeah, they ban the pictures. And then, you'll never forget those bricks that fell, basically, is what it is.
Exactly.
That's what they don't forget, is the bricks that fell. But tying it back to abortion. But we still abort, 75,000 a day or whatever it is. Anyway, that's Jason, I think that's a great quote of where we are at. If we are not neck deep in Babylon, then I just don't know. We just are. It's as simple as that.
Well, the good news is all these signs just lead us, let us know that the day of the Lord is coming. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got to stand up. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was praying and thinking about this. And, you know, and I was thinking, like Pastor Peters, he followed Jesus Christ, and we're to follow him. Jesus gave his life for us. You know, I think Pastor Peters, he died very young, and he gave his life for this ministry, for following and doing the work of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it just makes you think how we all, you know, everybody all in the whole ministry, every believer, you know, this, we're talking about a lot of stuff here today, which is hard truth, and, we have to stand strong and keep going forward and building on that strong foundation that is the reason we're all part of this.
It's true. You know, one of the last day's commandments is to gather yourselves together as often as you can.
Yeah.
And there's so many of our people that are out there that are alone. And, you know, this isn't a publicity thing, but, man, if you can get to Branson, or you can come to our church occasionally,
mm-hmm.
It helps. It helps build you up a little bit and let you fight the next however long it is till you can do that again, because there is a, I don't know what you would call it, but a strengthening when you come together with like-minded people. You know, and out there by yourself is tough.
Quite a few letters and emails, you know, as Ramrod for SFA, and that's exactly what you get from the people, is that we're so grateful that there's a voice in the wilderness crying out, you know, and we do share with you men on the radio, and we share with you on Sunday, and we're so grateful that, you know, God has continued to bless the ministry and enlighten you men, and all I can say is thank you, Holy Spirit, because we're nothing without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So,
amen.
Amen. And many people do share that with us, that, you know, they come to those places and it recharges their battery, is a term we hear a lot. Yeah, it strengthens.
Coffee with the Wranglers recharges mine. I mean, there's a lot of mornings it's like, it's Saturday, man. I mean, it's 6 o'clock. I'm climbing out of bed, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, I really don't want to.
Yeah.
But after I get out here and we have our show, it's a strengthening.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Wednesday night prayer meeting does that for me, too,
yes.
Just to hear the testimonies and know that by the grace of God and his promises that we're able to help those that are his, you know.
Amen. And that's just what, you know, what this ministry has always done, what we continue to try to do. Hebrews 3:12 tells us, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We talked earlier about that falling away. Don't do that. Take care, it says, brother. Take care. Do what you can do to stay on the straight and narrow path, to be encouraged. You know, tune in to these programs. If they encourage you, if they recharge your batteries, if they help keep you on the straight and narrow and help, you know, keep you leading a godly life like they do us. You know, we're telling you they encourage us. That's just what Kyle said and what we all agree with. You know, then do that. You know, be that Christian that, you know, we turn away from evil. And we turn away from sin. We don't embrace it. It goes on in 13 saying, but encourage one another day after day. We certainly try to do that. As long as it is still called today. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And that's, you know, that's one of the purposes of these broadcasts and this entire ministry, is to do just that, you know, to
like,
encourage one another.
Right. Like Kyle says, if you can, you should make Branson. I know we've said for years, oh, this could be the last Branson. But you know what? The signs are on the wall. The writing's on the wall. I mean, more and more, more today than ever.
And, yeah, and even if it's not the last one for everybody, it could be your last one. You can always
exactly.
Be your last one. You know.
And I know we're somewhere in the 250 to 300 range, and we only have room for 350. So, Lord willing, we'll just have the ones that God wants there. So.
Amen. Amen.
And like, you know, Kyle said, you know, there's so many, like even in the morning you get up and say, oh, I don't want to come down here, and then you do. You know, if
that's people, not what I said. I said, I'm tired.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
But no, if people are discouraged, and Satan uses that tool, that discouragement is a good tool. Not good, but it's, for him it is. You need to push. You know, Jesus sacrificed himself. This way of following our Lord and Savior, it's not an easy road. But as we do our part, he blesses us. So as discouraged as a person is, you've got to fight and go forward. Get to Branson. While we're there, let's, you know, meet some more people and get an email address and, you know, connect through that way and in whatever ways. But let's keep pushing. We got to push. And Richard, you know, in Hebrews there's a scripture probably close to where you were. It says, so much more as the end draweth near. I think it's about fellowship, pulling together. Can't think of it offhand, but the last part of it says, so much more as the end draweth near. So we should be doing it more. And fighting, and he's saying that for a reason. You know, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's saying it's going to be pretty rough out there. So that's actually an encouraging scripture, as crazy as it is. It is, because if you're feeling discouraged, if it's rough, hey, that's the way it is out there. However, if you push, sacrifice, whatever it is, a sin, a program, O'Reilly, I don't know, whatever it is, and God will bless that. And let's fight, let's pull together, and... because that's what we should be doing, and so much more as the end draweth near. Whichever scripture that one is.
I'll look real quick. We've only got about, six or eight more minutes. And
something we need to do, too, is we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters. That there's these conduits that Pastor taught us about that'll lead you to the dark side. And that can be through all kinds of different things that feel good. Religion or health products. I mean,
music.
You really have to bind Satan from using any of these conduits to deceive you and sift you, you know, Satan to sift you away from Christianity. So we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters that they're not deceived.
Amen.
But, well, you know, Brent, I admire you and your family. Like Pastor used to say, there's people who won't cross the street to come to this church, but this man makes the sacrifice with his family 3-4 times a year, driving from Canada just to come to church and spend some time with brethren. And I just want you to know that it means a lot to us.
Well, I tell you, it's survival.
Absolutely.
Because there's times I don't even, you know, I get here and say, how did we get down here? Like, it's like I'm crawling. And I'm thinking, I'm in no shape to even go down there. I'm just worn out, you know. And, thank God that we've been able to get down here. Because
But that's a sacrifice. I mean, you know, instead of spending the money on something else, you decide that, no, I'm going to put God first and put the church first, and I'm taking my family down there because that's the most important thing in my life. So,
no, that's right. That's why it's done, because spiritually, for spiritual survival, and there's nothing more important.
And it blesses the church.
It does.
You know, we got a family that lives in Colorado Springs, which is a several-hour drive. You know, and when they can make it up, it, you know, it's like you pull into the parking lot. Oh, great! You know, somebody else is here to have fellowship with. You know. Jason doesn't have to just look at me, and I don't have to just look at Richard, and Richard don't have to just look at John. You know, but it's a blessing, you know, for them that come and for, you know, for us as they come.
And you know, looking back on it, it was always encouraging to the pastor as well. You know, being here for 10, 11 years, and John and Jason, I'm sure, I would think anyway, you would agree that when you're preaching to the same people, to quote the pastor, Sunday in and Sunday out, you know, knowing that there's untold numbers out there listening and watching, you know, hundreds and hundreds of households tuning into the live broadcast, hundreds and hundreds getting the DVD church, untold, just numbers, listening in on shortwave and on the internet. But when you do have, you know, when you're around other people, like-minded believers, it is encouraging. It's empowering. Yeah. It's a recharge. It does. We recharge each other's batteries, not just our own, but it's a two-way street there.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to do. That's why it's supposed to hurt when somebody falls away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're supposed to mourn together. You know, as rejoice together. I mean, but if the body isn't working together like that, then you don't mourn when somebody falls away, and you don't rejoice when somebody new comes in. I mean, it just, everything, you know, it's just like any human body. You know, your body functions need to all work together. So, you know, and when they're working together and communicating and having fellowship, that's a rejoiceful occasion.
Well, it says the angels rejoice when somebody's baptized and they come to Jesus Christ. The angels are looking down and they're doing high fives and whatever else. I mean, they're interested. Yeah. They're watching.
Yeah.
So how much more intimate should it be for us, you know?
Yeah, amen.
Jason, did you leave and go ride your motorcycle, or are you still there?
Maybe he left. Did you hear that, Jason?
No, I'm having a hard time hearing.
Oh, Kyle said, did you leave and go ride your motorcycle?
It is a nice day.
It is. It is.
Well,
guys, we're about out of time. We thank all of you for joining us here for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We hope maybe you wrote down these scripture verses. We do just want you to be encouraged. You know, look to Christ, His Word, His way, as the end draws near. The last days are upon us. We strive to be found faithful and true to Him as these days draw near. We hope that you do as well. Again, our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Come to church with us tomorrow, won't you? We hope that you will. Men, thanks for getting up and joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha!
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.